You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
All right, this is Rhett Palmer here, and it's a new day on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial, the Jesus station, 89.9. Spread the word. And I have, of course, Stuart Fakita.
Amen.
Fakita, and how are you, Stuart? I met you before.
I'm doing well.
You said I'd recognize you when I saw you instantaneously.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we talked on the phone. You were you came highly recommended by Chaplain Dave, who oversees the prisons all south of here.
Yes, Chaplain Dave's an awesome guy.
He really is.
He's an amazing individual.
Yes. Servant of the Lord. That's why you really like him, John. You know, John's also John's of course the pastor of an Anglican church in town here.
Okay,
and it's
excellent.
Called St. Paul on the Beach.
Praise God.
And they have a healing service on Thursdays at 11.
Praise God.
And my wife went there with a really bad back. They prayed for her, and this heat came all over her. She said, and then your wife testified too. She felt the heat, and she was healed.
Praise God.
Yeah,
that's
and
awesome.
And his other hand. So it's 11 o'clock.
I like it.
And yeah, I kind of for years resisted denominations like Catholic, Episcopalian, Anglican, thinking that somehow we were, well, you're born again, you know, in your living room like me, that somehow, well, how legitimate are these people with these religions? And find out later in life that there's people that are born again in the Catholic Church, and there's people that are not. And there's people that are born again, don't even know they're born again. They have a love affair with Jesus. And the bottom line is, you may not know the right language. You might celebrate on Saturday, you might celebrate on Monday, you might celebrate on Wednesdays. But if you love the Lord, you know, that's what counts, right?
I keep it simple, Rhett.
Yeah.
I call it, we're all on Team Jesus.
There you go. That's very good.
Team Jesus. It's very simple. You're working out of the Bible, the Bible.
Team Jesus.
Team Jesus. Yeah. At the end of the day, you can call yourself Catholic, Protestant, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Nah. If you're on Team Jesus, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
We are all an extension of the body of Christ.
And we all have different giftings.
That's exactly right.
Now, what is your dramatic story? Because I know you're prosperous now, but it wasn't always that way for you.
Oh, no, it was not always that way.
And you're a man who's known for his integrity and the way you run your business.
Well, that's what I've been told.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Who taught you to have integrity? Was it your dad or...
My dad had some to do with it, but probably the biggest thing that happened in my life was that after, my stepdad had a lot to do with it. I don't even like to call him my stepdad because he was so awesome.
He was so important to you.
Yes. It's almost, I had two dads and I had two good dads, so there I was kind of blessed. I didn't have a torn
henceforth,
up.
You need not call him stepdad.
Right, exactly. And, you know, some people tell you they come from a broken home, whatever. That in my case, that was not the case.
Okay.
I'm a byproduct of poor decisions. Okay, is really the reality of it. Yeah. My mother worked hard, three jobs. I'm from upstate New York.
Where?
Utica.
Oh, I did the jingle for East Hill Car Wash up there and New Country Dealerships.
Anyway. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I was born up there at St. Luke's Hospital, Utica, New York.
Oh.
And
I'm from Poughkeepsie originally, then Albany is connected to Troy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's downstate.
Yes.
You know, to us, that's downstate. You know what I'm saying? That's way down there. Those, you know, those guys in Manhattan, anywhere up north of the Hudson River, you're way up there, you know. But anyways, I had some great parents growing up. And
were you Catholic? Or were you?
I grew up Catholic. I went to Holy Trinity School till eighth grade.
Did you know Jesus, or did you just know about him?
No, I just knew about Jesus. I did not know Jesus. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not here again to cut up any kind of religion, but I struggled with some things that had happened to me in my life at that time. When I was going to the Catholic school, I lost my best friend at 10 years old, which really...
What happened?
...began... he got killed in a car accident with his dad. Unfortunately, his dad was drinking and driving. Of course, in 1980, we didn't think much of drinking and driving, nor did you ever hear the term alcoholism, nor did you, you know, these things just didn't, they were always swept into the carpet or into the closet, if you will. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't like... you know, you knew a lot about these things. And after my best friend got killed, Bobby McCabe was his name. Great guy. December the 12th. Funny thing. I'm not funny, but the God story starts right there because I was supposed to go cut the Christmas tree with him and his dad. They were on their way to get the family Christmas tree.
Mm.
And because I decided to play phony sick on Friday because I just didn't want to go to school. Told my mom I had big belly.
Well, if you can't
go
to school, you can't go cut the Christmas tree.
That's exactly right. And at about 4:30 in the afternoon, December the 12th, 1980, I can remember that olive green phone ringing with the dial. You know, most people wouldn't know how to use one of those today. Maybe us guys will, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the 25-foot cord, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you were really high roller.
Yeah, we were high. We were high. We were high rollers. We had a big long cord. We were high rollers.
Yeah, wow.
So the phone rings, and my mom answers it as she normally would. And she says it's Bobby's grandfather. Well, Bobby's grandfather was our hero. I mean, he took us for ice cream and mini golf, and you know what I mean. They just he was the guy. You know what I mean. And the only thing he said to me when I got on the phone, he was silent, and then he said, "Bobby's dead." And I said, "Bobby's dead." And my mother dropped the dishes. I can remember them smashing because she was washing dishes. I remember hearing the dishes smash, and she'd come over and snatch the phone right out of my hand, and goes, "What are you telling my son?" And she just busted out crying because, of course, Bobby was, you know, he,
like a family.
Me and him were together. We grew up just a block from each other, went to school together. I mean, we were only 10 years old, so I can't tell you we had a 30-year relationship, but we had been together since I could remember, put it that way. You know what I mean? We were buds before we started kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? So
how did that affect you as far as you coming to make you, bringing you closer to the Lord?
Well, it didn't bring me closer to the Lord initially.
Oh, so you had anger towards God.
I had a lot of anger.
Yeah.
I had a lot of anger with a lot of people who told me I needed to go, you know, basically say a whole bunch of prayers and everything's going to be just fine. My mother didn't know what to do. She worked three jobs. My dad worked. I mean, my whole family always was hardworking folks. And they didn't know what to do with me. I mean, there wasn't the kind of counseling we got today. You know, those things just didn't exist then. Or if they did, I don't know where they were. You know what I'm saying? And I had this pain, Rhett, in the pit of my gut that I just could not get rid of. And I mean, it was the worst thing. I don't know. I hate to think, you know, any young person to have to go through that. Like, and I'll talk more about my son towards the end of this, who had the same thing go in his life. But so 2 years later, I'm at Holy Trinity School at a bazaar serving, helping pick up and clean up. You know, all the kids would volunteer. And my buddy comes over with a Matt's beer cups. Matt's Brewery up there, Genesee Beer, you know, that's where they made in Utica and Saranac. And he brings all these half cups where all the old guys smoking cigars and we're gambling and all that good stuff. And he goes, "Here, man, try some of this." And I was like, "That's nasty." It was flat. It was warm. It was horrible. He goes and gets some ice and puts it in there. And he's drinking away, and he says, "Come on, man." Well, I don't know. I drank two or three cups. You know, they weren't full. Of course, probably had somebody else's spit in it the whole nine yards. But, you know, 12 years old, what do we care, right? We're drinking out of a garden hose back in those days, and it was okay. You know what I'm saying? And the next thing I know, I'm drunk. 12 years old, drunk on the church steps of Holy Trinity Church, no less. It's just the irony to it all is that began right there by the payphone at the church steps of Holy Trinity Church, Utica, New York, Lincoln Ave. And
so were you instantaneously addicted?
I will say that the pain in the pit of my gut was gone. And with the pain in the pit of my gut gone, led me into a place of saying, I need more of that.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, my parents did not drink. I mean, when I say they didn't drink, maybe in New Year's and Christmas, they'd have bust out a bottle of scotch and have a drink, and that was it. Maybe a bottle of wine. But they had a liquor cabinet that would fill this whole wall because people would bring them back in the day. You know, it was traditionary at Christmas time to give your neighbor a bottle and give your friends a bottle and
people
so on.
People drank their lunches, businessmen back then.
Exactly. But my parents, because they didn't drink, had a collection of bottles that were pretty full. Next thing I know, I became the master of disaster with the food coloring of stealing all that alcohol out of the house and replacing it with water and food coloring. And I was even over there with my mother's lighter for smoking her Winston cigarettes. You know what I mean? But there was a wax seal on a couple of them, and I was even over there with the candle putting the wax seal back on. I was something else when it came to that. And by the time that started when I was 12, by the time I was 13, I got introduced to marijuana with some friends, and that was even better because with the marijuana, it was easier to get pot than it was easier to get alcohol back then, especially in New York, because they were really hard on the drinking age, you know?
Yeah.
And time I was 14, I accidentally wound up with a gram of cocaine. And I say accidentally because I called the dope man and asked him to deliver me over. And by the way, I went to a 10-cent payphone, and he showed up in a 1973 Le Mans with the floors falling out of it. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like a Le Mans you'd think today. You know what I mean? It was just traditional of the times. And so we're talking 1984, 1985. And he brings me a gram of cocaine, and he hands me this little paper all folded up like on a magazine paper. I'm like, what is this? And he goes, don't do that. Don't do that. Because I was getting ready to spill it all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd only seen cocaine in the movies up to that point. I'd heard about it. People talked about it. But I really didn't know what it was all about. So he gets this stuff. And I looked at him. He goes, you ain't never done this, have you? And I go, no. He goes, oh, you're in for a party now. He pulls the mirror out from under his seat and chop, 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 chop with his driver's license. And next thing you know, we're rolling up a dollar bill and snorting away. And let me tell you, Rhett, I found my new love like you ain't ever seen. Mm. Nothing else in the world mattered. Was I instantly addicted to that? Yes, I was. Because I didn't care about pot and alcohol after
now,
that.
My friend Al Black, the famous highwayman painter, said right there.
I love Al.
That side. Yeah,
I know he's with Jesus now, but I love Al.
He said that he said, you ever try crack cocaine? I said, no. He said, well, it's the worst thing in the world. He said, because more than heroin, more than cigarettes, more than any dope. He said, man, you can't get over the addiction. Well, he's put in jail for 12 years.
Yes.
He just gets into jail. He's in the jail cell.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he said, this big ball of light appears in this jail cell. He goes, if you're Jesus, get even brighter. And it got so great, it consumed him. And all of a sudden, he was instantaneously and absolutely delivered of an addiction.
Amen.
To crack cocaine.
And I believe that.
He sat right there and told me, sorry. And last time I saw him, God sent me. I'd done a number of interviews with him right before he died. Don't ask me why. God knows stuff. He goes,
yes.
Go down and do another interview with Al. Well, why should I do that? Just like an unction.
Sure.
Why should I do that? I've interviewed him a number of times. Go down. So I go down and interview him. He dies 2 weeks later.
Mm-mm.
But at that time, he said, yep. He said, he's done other things. He's a sinner. But he said, never went back to crack cocaine. 36 years, 35, whatever
Praise
it was.
Praise God. Nope, you're right.
And delivered by the Lord.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
On the third sunrise, you gave new life forever. When you stepped outside, left death behind forever.